Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 119. We need to stir ourselves up concerning the Word of God. And he doesn't always refer to the Word as the Word of God in Psalm 119. He refers to it as the law, as God's testimony, as God's precepts, as God's statutes, as God's commandments. But he's talking about God's Word. Those are all different words for the Word of God. And so throughout here, you know, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We can say, in the Word of God. How many people want to be blessed? Well, walk in the Word of God. Walk according to the Word of God. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, or those who keep His Word. Those who keep the Word of God. Who seek Him with the whole heart. The number one way we are to seek God is in His Word. Because God's Word is proven, it's pure, and we can miss it if we try to figure out God by just looking at trees and the ocean and just try to look at other people and how things happen in other people's lives. And that's how we try to figure out how God is. You know, we decide whether God's a healer or not by the fact that people we know get healed or not. You know, and so people judge a lot of things according to their circumstances, according to their experiences in life, according to creation. There's some things you can learn about God in that, no doubt. But number one, you come to the Word. The Word of God is how we seek Him. It's how we get to know Him accurately. Accurately. So we want to, how many want to know God? Know His Word. Know His Word. There's no knowing God really very much apart from His Word. There is not knowing God very well or very accurately apart from His Word. And there's a lot of people out there very sincere. Oh, I love God, but they don't know Him very well. They might think they do because they pray a lot. But praying doesn't necessarily cause you to know Him accurately. It's the Word that causes us to know God accurately. So we need to be prayers. We need a fellowship with God. But number one, we need to submerge ourselves or immerse ourselves in the Word of God. That's how we get to know Him. That's the best way we get to know Him. He says in verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Keep your Word diligently. We're not to be lazy and slothful when it comes to God's Word. We got to be diligent seekers of God in His Word, diligent doers of the Word of God. Everybody say diligent. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep the Word of God. That's a great prayer to pray. God's going to be the one that's going to help you to keep His Word. So we pray, Heavenly Father, help me to keep your Word. That my ways would be directed, that in everything I do in life, that I'd be directed to keep your Word. Keep your Word. And He'll do it. He'll help you. Because that's praying the perfect will of God for your life right there. How many want to pray the perfect plan of God for your life? Perfect plan of God right here. That I'd be directed according to your Word. Direct me according to your Word. Verse 6. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I wouldn't be ashamed when I look into your Word. I'll praise you, your brightness. Verse 8, I will keep your statutes. I'll keep your Word. Oh, do not forsake me. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. You want to get cleaned up? Take heed to the Word of God. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Let me not wander from your Word. Don't let me wander from the Word of God. Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's putting God's Word in you that's going to keep you on the path of life. It's going to keep you from missing. It's going to keep you from sinning in life. A lot of people, they don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. I just keep messing up. I just keep falling into the same sin. Well, the word. How much of the word have you hid in your heart?
Well, I've read a few chapters. I just haven't had time to read through the entire thing.
Get the whole word of God downloaded into your spirit. It will keep you from missing it. Keep you from sinning against God. Can you say amen? Verse 45, I walk at liberty. I like that. I walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Because I seek your word, I will walk at liberty, freedom. My margin says, in a wide place. Don't you like that? No more walking the tight and narrow. You know, when you think of walking a tight and narrow, you know, you think of a tightrope, right? The straight and narrow. This Christian life is like, it's the straight and narrow, you know. A lot of people are walking like this. Well, the more you put the word in you, the wider it gets. And the easier it is to walk without falling. Because his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It lights everything up, causes you to see things, and because the word is on the inside of you. The word is on the inside of you. So you see things. Things are clear to you. And, you know, you can see trouble while it's afar off. And you can just turn and keep yourself from it. Because you got the word on the inside of you. But you see, a person that has the word on the inside, see, they'll walk right into it. They'll walk right into a problem. Right into trouble. They'll walk right into temptation. They'll create all kinds of temptation and problems for themselves so that they sin against the Lord. But if you put the word in you, keep putting the word in you, it's going to keep you from doing that. It's going to cause you to see a problem afar off and hide yourself. Go a different direction. And so I really enjoyed this. In Psalm 119, it says in verse 97, oh, how I love your law, your word. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. How many of you want to be smarter than the devil? Smarter than demons. Demons have been around a long time. They'll outsmart you. No problem. They've been around a whole lot longer than you. But God's been around a whole lot longer than them. And I got his word. I got him talking to me. So we outsmart that devil. We outsmart demons when we got God's word. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I meditate in your word. It makes me smarter than all my teachers. I understand more than the ancients. My margin says age. Talking about my elders. Those that are older than me. Those that have been around longer than me. No matter how long they've been around, they haven't been around longer than God. They haven't been around longer than the word of God. So I understand more than the ancients because God's the one teaching me. Because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. You yourself, think about it. God himself is your teacher. When God is your teacher, you'd be pretty smart. Right? If God be your teacher, you be very smart. You become very wise. You become full of understanding. And then the Bible says knowledge comes easy to him who has understanding. It's easy to understand things. It's easy to know things. You can figure things out because you have understanding. Why? Because you sit and hang out with God. God's teaching you. Just remember that. When you're in the Word, God's teaching you. You're having a private teaching class. With God himself. He himself is teaching you. He's the one discipling you. And if he's teaching you and discipling you, he is transforming you. He is transforming your life. And God's word is a transformer. It has transforming power. It will transform our lives if we give ourselves to it. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, in review, says, is not my word, God talking, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. God's word is like a fire. It will refine and purge a person, like gold is refined in fire. They take gold, we talked about it last time, you know, and gold is, when they first find it, it's in all this, it's got in all this sediment and rock, and they take it and they heat it up, they put it in the fire, and they get it really, really super, super hot, and it just melts away and burns away all the stuff that the gold is encased in. Just burns it all away, so now you have this nice bar of pure gold. The rock and the sediment isn't worth a whole lot, but the gold sure is. And it's just like you and I. We got all this flesh, we got all these natural things, we got all these things that are not Christ-like that cling to us and are on us just because we're in this world. But the word of God will refine, it will purify, it will purge us clean. Do you want to be clean? Well, again, as you apply yourself to the word, that's exactly what it'll do. It'll purge you. It'll purify you. It'll purify you. And I like what it says here. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Like a hammer, the word can break things off you. Can break things. You know, when I think of that, I envision like, you know, when somebody that's going to sculpt or something, and they take the chisel and the hammer, and they break the rock in pieces, right? And they just break things off. And it's amazing how, as they just keep hammering away, next thing you know, they design this statue or whatever it is, you know, this, they create this beautiful image. That's what God's word does to us. And sometimes it's like fire. And sometimes it's like a hammer with the chisel, knocking things off of you, knocking things off. You know, not everything comes across very nice, but not everything about you is very nice. I can almost guarantee that. That perhaps or maybe there's some things in you that aren't very nice. And you need some not so nice measures to set you free. Oh. Some things don't break off, you know, just with one shot. Right? But don't back off the word. Stay in the word. Stay in there. Let God chisel. Let him break stuff off you. It's liberating. It'll cause you to walk in a wide place. It'll bring you into a greater place of freedom. Somebody say, chisel me, Jesus. Amen. Let God chisel you. Let God's word work on you. Break things off of you. And break you through things that are holding you back in life. Because God's word is your breakthrough. If you're looking for a breakthrough, you need to be looking in the Word of God, because the Word of God is your breakthrough. But man, we need a breakthrough. God's Word. God's Word. You go get in the Word of God. You let God's Word become alive to you. You let God's Word become revelation to you. You put yourself in a position for the lights of God's Word to go off on the inside of you, and you're through. You're through. You're through whatever it is that's been holding you back. One word from God changes everything. It immediately translates you. Just translates you. Just puts you over. Puts you over. Puts you in a completely different place. A different place of thinking. A different place of believing. A different level of believing. Which just changes everything. So a lot of times folks are looking around for a breakthrough. It's like, it's right here. Well, I don't have time for that. I don't got time for the scriptures. But I sure need a breakthrough in my finances. God's hammer. God's hammer will break you through. If you want a breakthrough, you come back to the Word of God. Now, here's the big thing. God's Word is like a hammer. God's Word is like a fire. God's Word itself does the work. It does the breaking through. God's Word does the breaking through. You got to just simply let the Word work. Unbelief gets in the Word's way. That's where the problem is. It's not about putting God's Word to work, trying to get, you know, I'm going to work the Word of God. No, you need to get out of the way. You need to get your unbelief out of the way and let God's Word work. You're not going to put the Word to work. The Word is working, but you're blocking. You're blocking the working. You're getting in the way of the work of God through unbelief. When you get in faith, you just simply get out of the way. You don't put the Word to work. You get out of the way of the Word that works. And the Word just works. Everybody say, the Word's working. The Word is working. It's working. It's work. We just got to get out of the way. People think they got to get the Word to work. No, you don't have to get the Word to work. Well, we need faith to get the Word to work. No, your faith gets you out of the way of the Word, so the Word that's working works. See what I'm saying? See, a lot of times we think that we're the ones doing it. No, God's doing the whole thing. You don't get any glory. I'm sorry. You don't get any of the credit. You don't get any of the glory. I mean, God will praise you for being smart enough to get out of the way. Isn't he gracious? He's such a gracious, good God. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. You got out of the way. Thank you for letting me do what I said I do. But that is a challenge in this life, because we come into a world where it's all about works. It's all about us working it, making it happen, doing it, and not really seeing that it's God who does the work. He does the work, and we need to get out of his way. Get out of his way. That's a prayer I pray quite a bit. I said, Lord, don't let me get in your way. Just don't let me get in your way, please. Sometimes right before I minister, I'll say, Lord, don't let me get in your way. It's not like, oh, God, please come. Do something, God. We need you to work. We need help. We need God to work. Well, no, he's already doing that, but we're standing in the way. You know, it's kind of like there's this door, and you got all this power and glory and all this stuff on the other side. It's kind of like the floodgates, you know. And then we're praying, leaning up against the door, holding it close. Oh God, please, we need help, God. God, we need you to come in and help us. We need God. You need you to work. We're stressing out, getting worn out, trying to hold the door closed. And all of a sudden we find out what faith is. And we go, oh, praise God. And the door opens up, we get run over, and the glory just comes in. And man, the whole place gets filled with God, and his will is done. Amen. He says, let the King of Glory come in. Lift up your head, O your gates, and the King of Glory will come in. Just get in faith. Get in faith. Stop doubting. Just open up. Stop locking God out. Open up. Stop locking God out, and he will come in. Somebody say, the Word does all the work. Notice over here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 22, it says, since you have purified, there's that word again. Being purified. What purifies us? The Word of God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Notice that. You have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Obeying. In other words, believing. This word in the original Greek language could also mean submitting. Submitting. You submit yourself to the truth. You surrender. What does it mean to submit? Surrender your will. Surrender yourself to another. So we submit and surrender to what he says. We submit and surrender to God's word. And what happens? The word purifies us. We simply surrender to it. We simply submit to it. We simply believe it, obey it. Get out of the way of it. Submit, surrender. I mean, just simply get out of the way. Stop standing in God's way. And what happens? We're purified. We're purified by it. So as we submit to the Word of God, as we just yield ourselves to the Word of God, being doers of the Word of God, acting upon the Word of God, flowing with the Word of God, we're being transformed. We're literally being purified, which means what? Stuff's being burned off our life. Stuff's being removed from. Things are being chiseled away. There's a great transformation that's taking place as we just simply obey, submit, yield, flow with the Holy Spirit. Flow with the Word of God. Obeying God is a yielding. It's a flowing. You know, it's not a works thing where you have to do something. You're doing something. You're yielding. You're surrendering. You're surrendering to Him. You're surrendering to the Word. You got to see it that way. That it's not you trying to bring something to pass. It's God bringing it to pass. You simply do what He said. He says, go left, and you don't go right. He says, close your mouth. And therefore, you don't open it. He says, say this, and you're not saying something else. See, that's work. Resisting the Word, resisting God is work. And that's why most people are worn out. And when you get to be this age, everything's breaking down. Everything's falling apart when you get to be this age. Because you're this age. No, it's because you spend a good portion of your lifetime resisting life. Resisting the Word. That's how the world is, but we don't have a worldly mentality. We get our minds renewed. Things are different for you and I. Things are going to be different for you and I. Right? We're not wearing ourselves down. We're not wearing ourselves out. We're being renewed. We're resting. We're flowing. We're yielding. We're cooperating. We're obeying. See, I add all those other words because when you say obeying, many times people have this works mentality. Obey. I know I need to obey. Simply get out of the way. That's what it means to obey. Simply get out of the way. That's what it means to obey. Isn't that something? Get out of the way of the Word. In other words, stop speaking and acting contrary to it. Do it!
Oh, it's so hard to do the Word.
No, you're rebellious. That's hard. Rebellion is hard. Rebellion is hard. That's why the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You're transgressing. You're rebelling. You're going contrary to the Word. That is hard. That's the rough road. Stop making life tough on yourself. Don't go the hard way. Don't go the rebellious way. Don't go the way that seems right to the flesh. Go God's way. Just go God's way. Is that easy? Just go God's way. See, we've got to renew our mind. It's easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's easy. It's light. It's light. Praise God. Ooh, hallelujah. It's a gift. Take the gift. Take the gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A gift you don't work for. Right? Wages you work for. The wages of sin. You work for that sin. You strive to sin. You fight against God. You fight against your conscience. You fight against everything that's right. You're fighting against angels to sin. Sin is not easy. Sin is hard, and you get paid good for it. The wages of sin are death. Death, you'll get paid death. See, we got to get the mentality changed. God's the easy path. God's way is light. It's easy. It's life. Again, people see this. It's the straight and narrow. Fill yourself with the Word, and you walk in a broad place. You walk in a wide place. You walk in a place of liberty. You walk in a place of freedom. It's not tightrope. You got to look at that in its context. When we use the tightrope analogy. Which really Jesus gave us. You got to go back and put it in its context. And he said in Matthew chapter 7, He says in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And so what we have here is doctrine spilt on this scripture in error. Because we just read in Psalm 119 that if we put God's word in our heart, we're not going to walk in a narrow place. Didn't we? Going to walk in a wide place. And that's not the only scripture. There's lots of scripture, especially in the Psalms. It talks about this wide place that you and I are to walk in. So, you know, you can't just throw out the rest of the Bible and get this tightrope vision of the Christian life and just leave it there. What did Jesus say? Well, living like a sinner is easy, but living for God, it's difficult. Didn't he just say that? It's difficult. It's narrow. It's hard. It's hard to live the Christian life. It's not what he said. He did not say the way of life or the way of God is difficult. He didn't say that. You read it that way, but that's not what he said. What did he say? He said, the way that leads to life. Notice that. Verse 14. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to it. Leads to life. And there are a few who find it. He's talking about finding the life of God. He's talking about finding the truth. He's not talking about someone that's living the truth. He's not talking about somebody that's on the other side of this thing that found the truth. Have you found the truth? Yes. Have you found life? Yes. Have you found Jesus? Yes. For those that are outside that have never found him, it's hard to find. He's like hidden treasure. It's difficult to find him. It's difficult to find him. Why? Because they're in darkness. They're in the devil's kingdom. They are slaves of sin. They are blind. They have no spiritual eyeballs. They are spiritually dead corpses. It's hard for a corpse to find much of anything. It's hard for a blind person to find anything. But if you can find it, if you can find it through that narrow place, after being in this broad place of darkness and destruction, if you can find the life, then bless God, you can get in it. And once you get through the door and you're in it, oh, it all opens up for you. It becomes a wide open place for you. An easy and light place. A fun and exciting place. A place full of joy and pleasures forevermore. That's the place that you and I are in. If the word is in us. It's a heavenly place. I said it's a heavenly place. I'm telling you, it's God's word that makes heaven, heaven. And it's the rejection of God's word that makes earth so difficult. Did you get that? It's the word of God that makes heaven so heavenly. And it's the rejection of the word that makes earth so difficult. And that is the truth. But if you have the word, you got heaven on earth, friend. I said, if you have the words, you got heaven on earth. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. In verse 6, it says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Didn't say he'll eat the lamb. He said he'll dwell with the lamb. He'll live with the lamb. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. He's not going to eat it. the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. A little child's going to lead lepers and lions and tigers and bears? Oh, my. Oh, my. Did it say a little child shall lead them? Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. In other words, together. Think about that. A bear is a vegetarian. He doesn't want to eat the cow. That's better than a lot of you. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. How many of you know this sounds like heaven? Does it sound like heaven? Let's look at it. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, why is this? The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the Lord. That's the word of God. God's word is the knowledge of the Lord. For the earth to be full of the knowledge of the Lord, that means the earth is full of the word of God. People have embraced, are believing, and are living by the word of God. The day's coming, says the Lord through the prophet, that the whole earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And then what's going to happen to life on earth? What's going to happen to life on earth when the whole earth is full of the word of God? When people are just full of the word of God all over the earth, what's going to happen to the earth? Man, there's going to be shalom. Like incredible. It's going to be like heaven on earth. Wild animals aren't going to eat each other. People aren't going to get hurt. Nobody's going to be destroyed. Why? Because of the word. Because of the knowledge of the Lord. That's what the knowledge of the Lord will do to you. I said, that's what the knowledge of the Lord. Is that what it did for Jesus? Huh? Jesus was the word on legs. That's who Jesus was. When he walked the earth, he was the word on legs. And the Bible says one of the things he did is that he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, led by the Spirit, to be tempted by the devil. He got out there in the wilderness, and the Bible says he spent 40 days out there with the wild beasts. Well, why does it say that? Why does it mention the wild beasts? Because nothing hurt him. Nothing ate him. Nothing bit him. Nothing destroyed him. Think about that. I mean, he's out there amongst wild beasts. I mean, we're not talking about some local park here. You understand what I'm saying? We're in some really, really tough terrain. I mean, there's insects that'll kill you. There's snakes that'll kill you. There's all kinds of things that'll eat you out there. And Jesus is out there in the midst of it, and nothing is harming him. Why? Because of the word. Because of the word. The word works. When you let the word work. When you yield to the word, which is what faith does. It yields to the word. It just lets the word work. And so, man, he had a shield of faith around him. He had the word all around him. He had peace all around him. God's word is our protection. God's word will change our heart, our mind, and thus change the atmosphere around our life. You'll be living life like you're in the bubble. Believers are to live life like they're in a bubble. They're all bubbled up. They're all bound up in the word of God. Nothing can harm them. Do you see that? Praise God. See, living by the word of God, not by sight. Not by how things feel, how things look, how things sound. You can hear some crazy sounds out there in the wilderness. You can hear some crazy things. You can have some crazy thoughts. Thank God we can cast down those thoughts. We can cast down those vain imaginations. And we can think on the word of God. God is with me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. It is well with my soul. It'd be nice to believe that to the point where we're not quoting that like, you know, like really fast with heavy breathing. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And then we just really actually think on that. That's what we think. We just imagine heaven out there in the woods while other people are camping out and they're imagining some psychopath hiker coming over to their tent. Or someone else is sitting there, they're lying in their tent and they're thinking about lions and tigers and bears, snakes and chitters. I mean, they're thinking about all these things. All these terrible things. Could it, wouldn't it be something if we just like walk around and we had like in our imagination we were thinking about heaven? You just picture like angels all around us, because it's true. We're just picturing the devil can't get anywhere near us. It's like paradise. It's like being in the Garden of Eden. It's like the glory of God just all around us. It's just like a wall of fire around us. Wouldn't that be something to imagine? Imagine if we had thoughts like that. We just thought like that. Our imaginations were just developed that way. That we just drifted. We just drifted off into heaven land. And life is just heavenly. Wouldn't that be something? Instead of having all these evil thoughts, negative thoughts, fearful thoughts, all kinds of ugly thoughts coming at your mind, and you're sitting there seeing these things going on the inside so that you become a tractor beam for these things. And you actually create your own problems with your mouth and with your actions. Wouldn't it be nice just be so full of the word that we just think on peaceful thoughts? It's what we do. It's what we do. That's a prayer to pray. Ask God. Say, God, infiltrate my imagination. Cause me to have thoughts, heavenly thoughts. Help me to think on heavenly thoughts all the time. Let it become normal to just be thinking on heavenly thoughts so that no dark, ugly thoughts can get in. And our minds are guarded. And I got news for you. If your mind is guarded with the truth, then your mouth is safe. Your body is safe. Your life is safe. And nothing will be able to harm you. It'll be just like heaven on earth. It'll be just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth. Praise God. It won't just be a song either. But it'll be reality. Praise God. That's where we're headed. We're growing in this, aren't we? Filling ourselves with the word of God. I mean, you know, we might not be able to get the whole earth full of the knowledge of the Lord, but we sure can get ourselves full of the knowledge of the Lord. I sure can get my own head full of the knowledge of the Lord. Praise God. I might not be able to get everybody else's head full of the knowledge of the Lord, but I can get my head full of the knowledge of the Lord. I can get my soul, my mind full of the knowledge of the Lord. And if I have that, nothing's going to hurt nor destroy. In God's holy mountain right here. I'm a part of his holy mountain. His holy kingdom. Are you a part of his holy kingdom? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. You're so good to me. See, if you go back and read the whole chapter, he's talking about the word. He's talking about living by faith. Notice it says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Sure, it's talking about prophetically of Jesus, but it doesn't just stop with Jesus. It goes on and describes all those that walk in the footsteps of Jesus, those that have been born again, born of Jesus. Those that have become members of Jesus, members of the body of Christ. He says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Do you see that about you? Spirit of God rests upon me. Say that. You need to see that. You see that. You need to imagine that. Spirit of God's resting upon me. Whoo, hallelujah. Spirit of God's resting upon me. Let that become real to you. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel. That's the word of God, isn't it? The spirit of counsel and might. And the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall, watch this, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. What's he talking about there? He's talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And how does this faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Always comes back to the word. So when you got the word, you walk by faith, not by sight. That's exactly what he describes here. He says he should not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ear. He's not going to look at things and figure things out. He's not going to look at other people and judge them according to what he sees, because that's judging according to the flesh. No, notice he goes on. He says, verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Notice that. With righteousness he shall judge. So we do judge, but we don't judge according to the flesh. We don't judge according, in other words, to how things look and how things sound. That's not how we judge. We don't judge things based on that. We judge things based on the word of righteousness. God's word is also referred to as the word of righteousness. We judge things based on the word of God, on what God says. Now we see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You want to hear more about this? About judging? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in verse 6, he says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think. He doesn't stop there. Not to think beyond what is written. Notice that. Don't think beyond the word of God. Because when we're talking about what's written, we're talking about the word of God, aren't we? It is written. It is written. It is written. Don't think beyond what is written. Man, let your thinking be all full of what is written. Don't think beyond what is written. Isn't that powerful? Don't think beyond what is written. Say, I'm not going to think beyond what is written. All right, now watch this. Don't think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. So in its context, he's talking about others, how you think about others. Think in line with it is written, the word of God. That's how you're to think. Let me read this from the Amplified Classic to make it a little clearer, maybe. He says, now I have applied all this about parties and factions to myself and Apollos for your sakes, brethren, so that from what I have said of us as illustrations, you may learn to think of men in accordance with Scripture and not to go beyond that which is written, that none of you may be puffed up and inflated with pride and boast in favor of one minister and teacher against another. So we just come back to what does the word say? What does the word say? In other words, a lot of folks that are judging things based on all kinds of stuff. And you know what? You know where they ended up? A lot of them end up offended. They totally end up misunderstanding things. They get things so wrong because they're not judging people based on the word of God. In other words, they're not looking and seeing, man, they are in violation of the word. Man, it's the scriptures that they're violating. They don't even think about the scriptures. They're just thinking about, you see the way they looked at me? And they didn't call me.
They called somebody else. And
we whine, and you hear people, they whine and they complain about all these. Give me the word. Where's their violation of the scriptures?
Well, I can't think of it.
They didn't do anything wrong. Where is their life out of line with the word? That's what matters. Same with ourselves. People are hard on themselves, hard on other people. You just got to come back and say, where are we out of line with the scriptures? That's all I want to know. Where do we need to get things right in line with God's word? It's not they need to get things right. In other words, what? In other words, they need to treat me better. Well, you're out of line with the scriptures. You're all puffed up against them. You're in pride against them. You're not walking in love. You're not following what the Spirit of God says. You're just thinking about how you feel and how it looks and how it sounds and what you think it should be. And people get so dogmatic about their opinions of how they think it should be or how something should have been done and all these kind of things. And it causes all kinds of division, it causes all kinds of problems, and people are all puffed up and divided against one another in a church because people have gotten away from the word. Come back to the word. Help people get in line with the word. If they're in line with the word, that's what matters. See that? Do you understand that? Don't think beyond what is written. Don't think about other people beyond what is written. Isn't that what we just read? It's exactly what we read. Let the word of God do the judging. Not your senses. Not your feelings. Not your flesh. Let the word of God do the judging. The word of God will do the judging. We see that. Jesus talked about it over in John, the 8th chapter. Verse 15. He says, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. How many of you think we should follow the master? You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one according to the flesh. John 5, verse 30. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. He's talking about hearing from God. Hearing from God. That's how he judges, based on what is God saying. What is God saying? What is God saying? Great question to ask. Well, this one says this, this one says this. I feel this way. You know how it makes me feel. What does God say? Are we hearing from God? What is he saying? Jesus says, as I hear from the word of God, as I hear the word of God, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Because my focus is on the will of God. When your focus is on the will of God, your ears are open to the word of God. If you don't care about the will of God and you just want to do your own will, it's going to be hard to hear the word of God. That's why a lot of people have a tough time hearing the word of God, because they don't have a heart to do the will of God. John chapter 7, verse 24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Sounds like Isaiah. John chapter 12, Jesus said in verse 47. And if anyone hears my words, and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The word is the judge. The word is my judge. People don't judge me. I mean, they do, but I don't care. People can judge me all they want. The word is my judge. That's the only judge I'm interested in. What does the word say about me? What does the word say that I should be doing? Where does the word say I am? I let the word locate me. I let the word correct me. I let the word discipline me. I let the word straighten me out. Not what everybody else is saying. Unless what they're saying is in line with the word. If they're just saying stuff and what they're saying is not in line with it is written, then it don't make a hill of beans difference to me. Amen. My peace and joy is not going to be affected by somebody else's opinion. That's absurd. That's absurd. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's laughable. You understand? You know, when you hang out over here in the presence, when you hang over here and you make God's word the final authority in your life, then it is absolutely ridiculous to think that another person can judge you. When you know, when you have been daily being judged by God. I mean, it makes everybody else's judgment sound so puny. I mean, so irrelevant. You know, if I'm letting God judge me every day, I'm letting his word judge me, and that goes on for a while, you know, and that's heavy stuff, man. God's word's heavy. Then somebody else comes along and says, I don't like him. He's so mean. They sound just like that to me in my spirit. And I just go, boo! You know, just go, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then people get upset about that. They get so upset. And they become just like it. They become just like it, you know. They start reacting to little... And they start coming back with the same thing. And everybody's just squealing. Everybody's just a squealing. That's what he's trying to fix that in the churches, you know. Everybody's just a squealing. Everybody's getting offended and mad at each other. It just sounds like a bunch of little squeaky things. Little mini mouses. Little mini mouses. That's what it sounds like. If you're used to the, you know, God talking to you. That's heavy. That's a heavy thing. Nothing squeaky about that. Can you say amen? Life is full of optical illusions that lead to many unreliable and false conclusions. So watch it. Watch what you watch. Watch what you look at. Watch how much you judge things according to the flesh. Always come back to the it is written. What does the word say? Because the word knows it all. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God's word sees through it all, friend. God's word cuts through it all. Cuts through it all. And if you're full of God's word, that's exactly how it'll be. You'll just cut through all the fluff. You'll just cut through all the stuff. And you'll just get right to what it's really all about. It'll make your life. God's word is sharp. It'll make you sharp. God's word is powerful. It'll make you powerful. Christians ought to be sharp and living. They need to be alive, living, not just existing. Living, sharp, and powerful. That's how Christians are to be in life. And we will be if we're full of the Word of God. If we yield ourselves to the Word of God. If we apply ourselves to the Word of God. If we allow the Word of God to do its work on the inside of us. It'll cut us free of all kinds of things. It will judge us and say, do you see that? That's a wrong thought. That's a wrong thing you got going on in there. Those are some wrong intentions. And the word will cut out wrong thoughts and intentions. It looked good to everybody else, wrong motives. Ugh. Word will deal with it. Let it. Some people just scrape the surface with the word, you know. They hold the word. Some have allowed themselves to be scratched with the word. You got to let the word go deep. Right in there and deal with the motives. Go right in there and deal with the intentions. And it's the word that's going to separate the soul from the spirit. And that's where most Christians are living in the soul realm.
I just feel led.
They're so soul-y. They're like these soul-y Christians. I just feel led. And their led is the soul. That's what it is. I don't feel led to come to church today. Now, I understand today. Today, there's an excuse. It's bad weather. We understand. I'm not picking on you today. But I'm just talking in general. You know, I don't feel led. I don't feel led to go. You know? I don't feel led to be there on Wednesday night. Oh, okay. I'm a soul man. Can we get past your led and see if your led lines up with the word of God? Because the word of God will show whether it's your soul or your spirit that's making that decision. The word will go in there and say, oh, no, that's not true. That's flesh. That's laziness. That's spiritual laziness. Amen. That's just one example. But you understand, the word will get in there and separate the soul from the spirit. And there's nothing else that could do it because the soul is the part, it's inside you. It's the deep part of you. It's an eternal part of you, but it's not your spirit. So it's easy to confuse the two because I feel this on the inside. I understand that. People feel a lot of things on the inside. I just feel led on the inside. I just feel on the inside. Just because it's on the inside doesn't mean it's the spirit because your soul is on the inside. In other words, people have gotten that, and they go, well, it's not my flesh. I know it's not my mind. I know it's not my reasonings. It's on the inside of me. Well, your soul's on the inside of you. And that's not the saved part of you. What saves your soul is the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. You got to let the Word of God go in and separate that inward part, that inward man, the soul from the spirit. And the only thing that could do that is the Word of God. So to really be led by the Spirit, we've got to know the Word. We've got to know the Word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love the Word. I'm going to let the Word work in my life. Transform me. Change me. Chisel me. Melt me. Purge me. Purify me. Refine me. Bless me. Free me. Heal me. Make me happy. So I stand up and shout. Hallelujah. Go ahead and do it. Praise God. Give God a shout this morning. Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.